This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back to part two of The Woman with My Super Hot Boyfriend. I'm sorry if that's getting old. I can't help it. I like to make him awkward.
Keep talking.
It's true.
Yeah. What else do you like?
I will say it's really charming how obsessed with each other you two are. Like, it's almost nauseating.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I like actually worry about that when I'm posting and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, people are gonna be like, yeah, we get it. You have a boyfriend again. Yeah. Finally.
We get it. You're like in love. Danielle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barf.
Whatever. Barf. Fucking let people be happy, everybody.
Yeah. Like, I know.
Oh my God.
Life is hard.
It is true, though. It is almost not like you guys are super in love. It's really fucking cute.
It's so fucking special, Jack.
It is.
Okay, so we were kind of talking about this. Jackson, like a different sort of like dating space right now, and
that's a good
and
way
I'm,
to put
I'm,
it.
I'm getting caught up with these stories. This is the first time I've met Jack in person, and I'm living vicariously through this woman's
what
life.
Am I not providing for you?
I feel like I'm like the little sister that's like going through her like crazy college dating years.
I'm loving it. It's exciting.
And then I'm sitting here like, no, like I've been where you are. This is what you actually want.
Yeah, I don't know about maybe not right at the moment.
But yeah, but no, you're totally right.
We'll have fun.
Because Michael and I've talked about this. Like if we would have met earlier, we would not have worked. Because I was looking for dirty musicians.
Yeah, it wouldn't have fit the bill, I guess.
No.
Well, we are not letting this podcast getting turned around onto my dating life because there's too much to talk about there.
Yeah, but we have questions.
No. We're not heading that direction. I'm reeling this shit back in, okay?
Okay.
So, obviously, the WOMED community is a wonderful group of a lot of healthcare workers. We have a lot of nurses, doctors, PAs, NPs. We have everybody.
Pharmacists, CNAs.
All the things, And we welcome and love them all. So being a nurse is a part of Danielle's identity. I think once you're a nurse, it's a part of all of our identities, regardless of where we're working, what we're doing.
Or how healthy that is.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm going to have to call my therapist later. She's going to be like, what? Yes, but it is part of our identities in a way. Mm-hmm. We get into a profession of helping people.
We're healers at heart. We know this.
Michael, obviously, you've had to navigate the healthcare system. When you found out that Danielle was a nurse, I'm sure you knew that ahead of time before going onto the beach. What kind of impressions did you have about that? And how did that evolve to now seeing Danielle going into work and applying for jobs?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I went to Loyola in Chicago and they have an amazing nursing program. And so a lot of my friends in college became nurses and they always shared a similar trait, which was like to be a caregiver.
I was going to say codependency.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Just kidding.
Sleep deprivation, underpaid, overly, worked.
But
there's a calling, to serve in this kind of capacity. And I mean, I know from our own experience going through like a cancer journey, how like nurses in particular made the hospital and our whole entire experience like so much easier. And it became almost a second home to us. I was telling Danielle on the way down here, there would be a scenario when, Laura was getting chemotherapy. If her temperature spiked above 100, we would immediately have to go to the ER and we would get blood tests and, red blood cell count out of whack and be neutropenic, and it would automatically be like 7 days in a hospital. In 1 year, we spent 75 overnights in a hospital.
Get out.
75. Mm-hmm. It was any time like something happened, it turned into something worse. And I will say, just as like the caregiver in this scenario, I always felt most helpless when we were at home. And it got to the point where once we arrived at the hospital, even though no one wants to be there, you started to feel like you were taken care of. Like I started getting comfort from like the sounds of the machines, like beeping. I would argue that they need to at least have like better chairs for us to sleep in, you know, yeah. It's kind of at least something that reclines. But the nurses were just this comforting presence that you felt like you were a person and not a patient, you know. And I think for people going through cancer or any sort of chronic issue, they're tired of being a patient. They want to be a person again. You know, they're losing their hair. They're being poked and prodded. They need that human touch. They need the science. They need all of that, but they need to feel like themselves again. And nurses were the ones that made us feel that way.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you've said obviously before that Danielle gets it. Like you guys get each other's grief. But I'm starting to think that I think Danielle is such a great, you guys are such a great match and she's such a good partner because she's been in healthcare for so long. Like she, in a sense, kind of, I think, gets what you've been through from the medical standpoint, yeah. too.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's journey is so unique that, you know, it's, I think we learn best from each other just by discussing all of these things. Like, there's no way to prepare for, you know, you being a nurse to understand what's in my life or vice versa,
yeah,
per se. But there is a sense of empathy. And there's a warmth and there's compassion that's there that, you know, no matter what's going on in my life, she doesn't necessarily take it as a personal blow to her or, you know, trigger insecurities because she's always looking to understand, you know, regardless of what it is. But nurses are the backbone of healthcare without a doubt. They're the ones doing so much of the work. I don't remember a lot of the doctors even really coming in. They were reading a chart, but like the nurses were the ones that we became most familiar with and part of our family.
Obviously, Danielle and I are biased, but we both think that nurses make the best partners and create the best everything.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you seen Danielle go into nurse mode yet? Has anyone been sick or injured or has she put on that hat yet? Because it happens in real life.
It will happen.
Yes. If it hasn't happened yet, it will.
You were sick for Christmas, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like full on nurse mode.
I think she's always looking to like, you know, do these little things to make it, you know, easier. And it's the little things that matter. I just got over, you know, the flu and I'm such a baby when I get sick. Typical male.
Not to stereotype, but literally such a man thing.
I think we're bordering on that's a known fact.
It's not even like, stereotype, it's just fact.
Yeah, it's fact at this point. Men cannot be sick. But she does, I don't know, just very nurturing. Like you're always a little bit ahead of schedule, which I appreciate.
So with what you're comfortable with, obviously you mentioned that you have had to navigate the healthcare system with Laura. Can you fill us in a little bit on what that experience was like outside of just with the nurses and having to deal with the healthcare system, insurance companies, pharmaceuticals?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people, I mean, unfortunately, it's not until you have a loved one go through some chronic illness or get hospitalized that people start to realize how messed up the system is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, prior to starting a few of my own ventures that I'm currently working at, I mean, I was in the medical space for 10 years. It was during that time that I got to see how fractured and how messed up everything was. I think there's a lot of times where people want to simplify it and they want to say this one thing is the problem and they want to villainize something in the chain, but it's really everything. It's insurance companies. It can be the high cost of drugs. It can be how difficult it is to get medications through the FDA when they've been in Europe for 5 years before, and that's elevating the cost. You've got everybody in the middle, the distribution companies and retail, you have hospital systems that are setting these metrics where patients and people are now numbers, and it's putting that burden on the healthcare workers across mm-hmm. the board that they have to turn and burn. Everybody's reacting to something that they're being forced to do. And it's all just very interconnected. And our own experience was, you know, we had our insurance through like Laura's employer. And, you know, when she got cancer, she was dropped from insurance. And we had to go on.
That is
We had to go on to
unthinkable, like, honestly.
Cobra, and then that expired.
Which is expensive as fuck, by the way.
But once like our Cobra was like done, like a lot of the treatments we were getting was $25,000 out of pocket.
Oh my god!
Per week, mm-hmm. and the healthcare facility we were going to, you had to prepay for the week before. So this is a situation where, you know, we both, Laura and I, jobs, like insured everything. Like, I don't know how other people are allowed or can even remotely afford this. The people should not have to be fighting for their life, getting sick and going broke at the same time. Like, it should never even happen. And I would even argue that the employer-based healthcare or insurance model, the employer-based insurance model, is one of the worst models you could ever possibly have. People stay at jobs that they don't belong in just to receive healthcare. It also, some of the larger companies who can negotiate better insurance plans, that makes it really difficult for small businesses to attract talent. About 30% of anyone's salary goes to paying for their healthcare. Why are we not giving full access to healthcare across the board? If this is the best country, like a lot of people claim it is, healthcare is just a basic human right. Education and healthcare.
You can also buy that t-shirt at RiotHealers.com.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Healthcare is a human. Wow. I mean, we cannot echo that enough. I mean, right. Danielle and I speak at lengths about this. It's just, it's wonderful to be able to kind of hear your perspective. You know, it's not a wonderful situation, but it's, I love how educated you are on the topic. I'm not going to lie. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
See, this is what's fun for me as like a healthcare professional, being able to like talk to someone who's more business minded and can look at this from not like, I mean, like, I'm definitely more emotional about this, but it's been great having these discussions with Michael, because he's like, no, like, you've got to like formulate like a business argument
always
about these things.
And the main reason for that is everybody thinks they're in the moral right. Mm-hmm. And you can't argue anything from a morality perspective. It's not, I mean, healthcare being available to everybody, that's right. Like, I don't care what you say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't understand what's chopped up, but what is the discussion here? That's not what's going to move the needle. Mm-hmm. The business case for making healthcare
is money.
And there is a business case for pro business and privately held companies, publicly traded companies, everybody, to move over to this model. But all of these different pieces down the line, they're going to have to give, and you can't change one without the other. And they're holding on to this antiquated employer-based system that I think was created, you know, during like, what was it? Maybe Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Michael and I get on these tangents, and I just love that we can just talk about everything.
We've been in the car
for a bit.
Welcome and, like, to your road trip.
Yeah, in the last 48 hours, we've been in the car for what, 22 of them?
A lot, but also, you know, we don't necessarily have the time when I'm home with you in Ohio, because, like, James is,
oh, yeah,
like,
Yeah.
Like, we can't talk
You're
about
healthcare. You're not having deep conversations right. about the inadequacies of our healthcare
right.
system.
Right. Right. With a six-year-old.
Hey, James, sit down for a second. Eat your chicken fingers and
it's not that highbrow and right. existential.
Right. But we were getting into this conversation on the way down to Chicago yesterday. And it's like, and you brought up the topic of there's no art in medicine anymore because right. everything is dictated by insurance companies and what tests that insurance companies say that you can run, what treatment modalities you can prescribe because insurance companies will cover them. But I'm sorry, like, where are the doctors? I mean, like, I know they have like doctors and insurance companies, you know, like to or medical people to kind of like review some stuff. But it's like medicine is advancing far beyond what insurance companies will pay for.
Yeah.
And the treatments that like you need to diagnose, like people could be diagnosed so much quicker if physicians were allowed to practice.
Right.
You're so right. And literally every aspect of our life is ruled on efficiency. And mm-hmm. somehow medicine is in treating patients in the hospital is one of the least efficient mm-hmm. ways you mm-hmm. can do it. You know, you have to fail on a first line tier one kind of drug. Then you have to do a step edit and a prior authorization when the doctor knows right off the bat that option number three should be option number one. Mm-hmm. What are the costs to the healthcare systems there? Why screw costs sometimes? What's best for the patient?
Yeah.
You know, and why don't we have this system in place where people can be more proactive and incentivized to be ahead and taking care of themselves and not just responding to, you know, disease states when they're too far along to reverse.
Danny, I love what you said about medicine is progressing faster than what the insurance companies can, what we can bill the insurance companies for. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a lot of our past episodes, like with Dr. Danielle Bilardo and mm-hmm. Dr. Blair Peters, who are literally out there providing cutting edge research, technology, surgeries for with Dr. Bilardo for cardiovascular disease and obesity, mm-hmm. and then with Dr. Peters for gender affirming surgery and yeah. neurorevascularization. And then you think like these physicians are just unbelievably talented and mm-hmm. brilliant. And what is the point if we can't offer it to everyone? It's just right. it's disgusting, it's broken,
and it's frustrating for the physicians
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I think that's the thing actually, Michael, that people don't understand. Like, people want to, I think, at sometimes blame the physicians or
right.
blame the doctors, blame the whatever. It's like you
but
don't
their
understand.
Hands are tied.
Yeah.
Then everybody again is responding to their environment that's been created for them.
Yeah.
Well, we could sit here and bitch about health insurance and our fucked up system all day.
But I also wanted to have like a really proud girlfriend moment because this is also, it's just so cool to me. And I mean, Michael and I talk about this all the time. People label us as these like grieving widows or something like that. And they forget that there's so many different aspects and layers to us. And my boyfriend's a fucking inventor.
Oh my God.
Who has a patent.
Yes.
We have not, you have not started like the clinical trials and stuff like that. Obviously, we know there's different claims and stuff that I'm sorry.
Well, you guys are a we. That's really sweet. You guys yes. are a team. Everything is we, honey.
It's we.
I mean, like, this is something that you've worked on, became like a passion project with Laura. And it has been just so incredible to not only like watch your passion for this, but to like see it start coming to fruition, seeing so many people interested in this patent. And I'm just putting it out there that I'm like manifesting all the good that will come from this to help ease chemo treatments and like cancer treatments and things like that. So.
Yeah, thank you. And like a little, I guess, backstory on that is, you know, when Laura was going through chemotherapy, there's a major side effect called hand-foot syndrome. It happens in a lot of patients. There's like five medications that cause it. a lot, and it's, you know, Adriamycin, Cytoxan, Doxorubicin, Paclitaxel, Capecitabine. And Laura got it very bad. And this was at a point when, you know, James was, you know, 8 months old. She couldn't hold him. Like, her iPhone wouldn't even recognize her fingerprint because her skin was burning off. And, you know, we were getting treatment at the Cleveland Clinic, and it was either cancer or side effects. And we went to the medical director there, and it's like, this is really bad. And he's like, sorry, there's nothing we can do. And so we started investigating, you know, a topical therapeutic that would offset this particular side effect to allow people to finish their dose and all of that. And in 2019, you know, I submitted a patent. And I think it's important to know, too, this came out of necessity. This was never meant to be a business at all. What we created was working well for Laura, and she took her cancer journey very public. And people started asking, and I had a little lab I built down in our basement, and I set up a account.
Wow, Michael.
It's it's such a legacy and testament to her tenacity.
Yeah.
In wanting to continue to help other people.
Yeah.
And I think the legacy of it is
beautiful. There's one thing that you can't unsee: the things that you're exposed to during a journey like this. Like, you remember the people, the places, like the broken things, the good things, all of it. And this felt like one area where we may be able to help. And so, you know, we had it on 50 patients. I was running a little clinical trial, and we had on patients that had HFS, but also some with radiation neuropathy, which, you know, I don't even know how the neuropathy was helping, but people were reporting very good quality of life metrics and improvement in pain score. And it's important to note, too, that we're beginning clinical trials. So none of this is clinically proven whatsoever, but looking to start clinical trials at a couple very nice universities.
Very prestigious. And healthcare.
Yeah, very prestigious universities come May of next year.
Get out.
Yeah. So this would be
huge.
It'd be fantastic.
He won an entire fucking patent. Wow.
Yeah. which was wild. And
We got to connect him with Jordan. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean,
100%.
Jordan is such a... She's a clinical research nurse. And so she helps start writing all these patents and stuff. She's a badass. We actually need to get her on the pad. We love you, Jordan.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jordan Rice. Hey.
Can't wait to meet you.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that it finally came to fruition, because it's, you know, submitted in 2019 and I just received it, you know, a few months ago. And it's like, this is what that hard work was about. And the truth is
she's got a hand in this. Laura has a major hand in this.
Yeah. And right now I can make it for next to nothing. And so it's all been self-funded. I haven't taken on any debt whatsoever. I want to make sure that if this does prove to be what I think it could be, that I'm not a part of the problem. I don't become what we discussed earlier, which is the too much fat in the system. And I want to be able to make sure that it's accessible to people.
Michael, I just feel so honored that one, that my best friend is dating you, but two,
I got such a good one.
Oh,
but
stop it.
I just feel so honored to hear just so many other aspects of your story, what you've been through, and how you continue to build towards the light. Through so much that you've been through.
Thank you.
it's so special. I am so grateful that I can finally see now why Danielle is so fucking obsessed with you.
I'm obsessed with her too.
And I am. I'm so grateful that we had this time to kind of share with our listeners and whoever else is listening that, you know, like we've said through these two parts of these episodes here, I think people want to put labels on the both of you so quickly on well, you're this and you're this, and put you in a box of this is the widower, this is the dad, this is the new girlfriend, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so happy that we had the chance to go into depth about so many other things that you're doing in your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people can throw labels. They have to realize that none of them stick to us. Like, we know exactly who we are as people, and we're just going to continue going down our path.
But do you know each other as people? We're about to find out.
All right, let's go.
So I wanted to end our lovely two-part series with a little rapid fire. Danielle and I love to do a little rapid fire at the end of some of our episodes. So I wanted to do a little rapid fire of a this or that.
Okay.
Am I guessing her preference?
That's, you know what, we're going to save that for the newlyweds game.
Okay.
I'm putting out there for you too. Sorry, had to. So we're going to save the newlyweds game for later. But I want to hear your preference, this or that.
Okay.
And I want you to just say what you prefer.
Okay.
But you're both going to answer at the same time. I want to see like what our similarities are and what our differences are.
Okay.
And if we can find any like medium ground on these following categories.
Oh boy.
Let's
all right.
Go.
Okay. So we're going to try out the first one. I'm going to say this or that. I'm going to like count to three with my fingers so I don't annoy everybody. And then at the count of three, you guys are going to say what you prefer.
Got it.
Okay. Ready?
Got it.
Okay. First one. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Tea. I knew that one.
But I know he wants coffee.
Hell yeah, coffee.
Yeah.
I will but never understand how Danielle espresso. Was a night shift nurse and doesn't drink coffee.
No.
Like, I'll never understand.
Espresso in particular.
Okay.
But also he ordered me a matcha latte before I even got up this morning.
With coconut milk?
Yeah.
Well,
oat milk.
Yeah.
I know coconut milk. Yeah. They didn't have it.
Did you preface that, Danielle? They didn't have coconut milk, I swear.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wow. You are teaching him. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he just listens. He's
okay. Next question.
Good boy.
Morning bird or night owl?
Night
morning
owl.
Bird.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think that, you know what? I think that that's like the secret to like a good relationship though. Because then you have like some time in the morning and you
yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except I'm always on them at night.
Yeah.
And in the morning.
Bagel or donut?
Bagel.
Donut.
Ooh. Okay. We'll have to get the mixed box. That's fine.
I like sweets. You know this. He knows this. Mm. I'm a sugar fiend.
You are.
Yeah.
All right, this is a really hard one. I don't even know which one I would answer. Pizza or tacos?
Tacos.
Tacos.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so we can order
out.
We do
have something in common.
But yeah.
Oh my God, we can stay together,
this
babe.
Whole relationship can be built around the taco.
I hope you've got some good taco places in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know.
No, we can make tacos.
Okay.
There aren't any.
True.
Yeah. No, he's a really good cook. Real good cook.
So are you, Danielle.
Yeah, she's
don't
fire.
Sell yourself short.
She's fire.
As long as it's just not too picky, then Danielle can.
Right.
Danielle's fine.
Pet peeves.
Yeah, we're going to get into the pet peeves at the end.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Don't
Here
worry.
We go.
Okay. Night in or night out?
Ooh.
What the? One, two, three. Answer.
Night out.
Okay, I'll let you mainly each explain. Explain.
Mainly
we both said night out.
Night out.
Which is, whoa.
I love a good dinner.
Here's the thing. I'm saying night out because it happens less frequently.
Okay.
Yes. Fair.
Night ins are, they're great.
Yeah.
But like, I got to organize everything in order to get a night out.
Yeah. We had to spend so much time locked in away from the world. And it's like, it's just really nice to go out and have dinner and, you know, maybe
and show off your hot girlfriend, right?
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. She's gonna look so good tonight.
I know. I can't wait. I can't wait to see
oh
it too.
Oh my god!
I'll let them make his jaw drop.
All right, you lovebirds. Next question: beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Danielle,
I like both.
You can't answer both.
Fine. Mountain on a lake.
Oh, yeah. I think we've had that discussion, you and I.
Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, next. Picnic or barbecue?
Picnic.
Picnic.
Okay, cute. All right. Next date, picnic with tacos.
Yeah.
I see it in your future.
On a mountain.
Okay,
by
I'm
lake.
Curious to hear by how lake. Danielle answers this one. Organized or messy?
organized. Messy. Prefer organized.
Just when you travel, you're a mess. Just when you're around me.
No, I'm a mess. But I prefer organization.
You do. You prefer organization.
Everyone prefers organization.
Yes, but
messy baseline. People crave it.
Yeah. I crave organization, but I can't be organized.
Yeah.
We're trying,
I prefer flying than driving, but we drove here.
Yeah.
say I love driving. Driving's great.
Everybody loves a road trip until after like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, right.
And then you're like, you know what? The flight's looking real good.
Real
right
good
about
right
now.
About now.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. TV or movie?
Mm. Are you saying
go out
television
to a movie?
Series?
Yeah, TV series or movie?
Series.
Ooh, TV series.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you listening to?
Oh
now,
my
or
god,
now?
I like, what have I not watched? I like literally have run out of shows.
I got one for you.
Okay, what?
Mosquito Coast.
Ooh.
On Apple TV.
On Apple TV. Okay.
It is awesome.
The latest show I watched was 1889 on Netflix.
Oh, how was
that? Like the Yellowstone.
No, that's like another one. But like I watched all that too. Are we caught up on
like
Yellowstone?
A shipwreck. Thing.
Yellowstone, not super. I'm on season two.
I haven't started this season.
I'm on season two.
So season five is kind of a meh. All right. Next question. Cook or order in?
Cook.
Cook.
Oh, I love this. Okay. So you guys got like the big ones together, mm-hmm. I think. All right.
We can't be like totally the same. That'd
no, you
so
gotta have
boring.
Some differences. Yeah. Always late or always early?
I'm always late.
Always early.
Yeah,
always. I know.
So this is going to be a topic of hardship in the future. I
it
think
will be, it will.
Has
be.
It been yet? Has there been a situation yet?
No, but I can tell that she's in less of a rush when she should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Michael, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It stresses me
I
the
have
fuck
a
out.
Massive. Like anxiety of being late to anything.
Well, I'm feeling that right now because we have to go get our makeup done in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Two more. And then I want to end with two more questions. So really, really quick. But quick question. Quick. All right. Wine or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Wine.
Yeah, I know. Danielle. Mm-hmm. Danielle's a...
He's wine or scotch.
Okay. Fair enough. And mm-hmm. you're whiskey or tequila?
No, whiskey or like
UV
a
or
Coca-Cola
or Lambrusco.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Okay. One more. Introvert or extrovert?
Introverted extrovert.
Yeah. I think you're a little I can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I recharge around people, but like I really like my alone time.
Okay.
I did too, but I'm pretty big extrovert.
You're very much more extroverted than I am. Yeah.
Now I want you to each name your most annoying pet peeve about the other.
Go first.
I know Jax about me is that I get really hangry and like I really try to not make it a big deal, but like it makes Jax so angry.
It really does.
And I can't help it, and then that makes me feel terrible.
But when you hear the word hangry, you think it's like cute, like, oh, I'm so hungry. It's like, no,
I'm
Danielle
just quiet.
I so
turns
agree with
into
you,
a
Jack.
Different person.
I'm just quiet and laser focused
no.
on food.
I have to bring a little testy. I have to bring like
yeah,
road
but that's
snacks.
Because, that's
like
because
backups,
I'm laser focused.
Just in case.
You know I have all the road snacks. Okay. Biggest pet peeve about Michael.
Michael still has to answer
oh
though.
God.
You just gave it away. So
no,
Michael still
I know.
Has to answer.
Yeah. I know. Babe, whenever you're like cooking and like it's like especially with
oh,
meat. Especially with me, like you wipe your hands on the cloth towel and like,
ew.
And I'm like,
I'm going to be shut down. No one's going to ever eat my food again.
No,
you
they're
monster.
They're just not going to use
the towels.
The towels.
Be
to like spread
diseases.
Like,
you're spreading all sorts of shit.
I know. I didn't even realize I was doing that for the longest time. But
yeah,
so,
you do it.
So that's. I think I can. That's something I can fix.
Danielle, do you have like a weird thing about meat
off.
Too? I feel like. Do you have like a weird thing about raw meat or no, like cooked meat?
No.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking about one of the dates I've been on with one of the random guys. I'm getting all confused.
Hey, oh, back to that.
Okay, so. That is
so,
something fixable.
Yes,
we can fix that.
Spreading diseases.
But we can fix that.
We can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just gotta like do the little finger rinse.
There's tons of solutions.
So, there's so many solutions.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve, we've already said, is being hangry. You can't steal mine. So what is your pet peeve about Danielle?
I would say she is an incredibly picky eater. like has the palate of a toddler.
It is better than James.
It's better than my son's, but
is it?
It is.
Is it but close though?
No.
James's is really bad. I'm working on it. But yeah, like we'll go to a restaurant. She'll order a salad, literally take everything off the salad and then
build it herself. Because I don't want to ask them to like, well, and I do, but no, I am a very picky eater and I've tried. Like I'm not literally as bad as I used to be, but like, I found out it's because I'm a super taster.
What is
quit
that?
Making up labels?
No, someone sent this to me.
No,
then it must be true.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm a super taster.
It's cute though that you're trying.
I'm just more sensitive to like textures.
It's not
and
a weakness;
stuff.
It's a strength of yours.
No, I'm just saying.
It's about it's about the texture. Okay,
it's a texture thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the flavors.
Well, the thing
things,
is, I love
don't like
seafood.
The texture.
Like I could. Oh yeah. That's all I could eat, and mm-hmm. she barely touches it.
Yeah.
And so, like, every time we're cooking, it's either, like, a salad or it's, like, heavy meat and cheese.
Or you can have meat and cheese and a salad.
I know. But that's usually what we're cooking. That, like, so limits me. Because I, like, almost...
You can make, like, a white... We can do some sea bass, some scallops. Like, I just, like, shrimp
well,
and
you
lobster
guys can
and stuff like
sit
that.
On the car ride. I don't know if you have another car ride. I hope you don't have another car ride ahead of you. But I don't want to end on a mean note. So, real quick. Your favorite quality about the other.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The safety and support that this man provides me to completely be myself is, it's, I cherish it so much.
I would say it's.
Her boobs.
She's got great set, folks. Dynamite. I would say her it's not like I don't want to cop out, but it's not one thing. It's like a complete package thing. It's she doesn't overly do one thing or the other. It's just all kind of cohesive. She's
would you say I'm a jack of all trades?
Ooh.
Damn it, Michael, that was such a good answer. That was really, it's really cute.
Oh, thanks.
No, he's so wonderful.
No, but I mean it. You're very like compassionate. You're one of the smartest people I know, and you know you like beautiful and like all of these things. And given the day, I like one of those traits more than the others.
We can deal with
or
the,
I need to tap into it.
We
you
can
know?
Deal with the picky eating because you got everything else. So.
Yeah, we'll let that slide.
Well, this has been an absolute blast.
Thanks for so having fun. Me. We got to do this again.
Michael, you are always invited on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack and I need to go and get our makeup done because we're about to be so hot and sparkly.
It's going down
New Year's
tonight.
Eve.
Yeah, Instagram's going to really be annoyed with us this weekend. So, but. Again, this was
so special
to sit down in person with
my best friend met my other best friend.
Absolutely.
Good times.
If you haven't had a chance, definitely listen to part one of this series. This was the part two. We will catch you next week. You know, our episodes come out every Friday now. We are so appreciative that you joined us all through 2022 into 2023 and this new season six that we have.
There's season six.
Wow, I know. We're just keeping it coming in hot.
Jack hasn't left me yet. She might after tonight.
We'll see if we have any hangry episodes this weekend. But as always, thank you for tuning in every week with us. Every rate, review, share, like means the absolute world to us. We love you so much. On that note, WOMED
out.
Oh, he tried to cut me off.
That was crazy.